Welcome to Frenzy on the Podcast, right here on Movie City News. No music today. This podcast is already long enough. It's about a 40-minute discussion. I have Thomas Hayden Church and Elizabeth Shue both on the line at the same time. They're promoting their new movie, Don McKay, which is playing next week at Tribeca Film Festival. And, yeah, it's a really good movie. So let's talk to Thomas Hayden Church and Elizabeth Shue. So I wanted to start by saying that I really enjoyed the movie. And I enjoyed it a lot more than I anticipated it, considering that I hadn't heard really that much about it. And the thing that I really liked about it and what I admired about it was that I had no idea, like, where it was going to go at any particular time. And that's a real treat for me, you know, as someone who watches a ton of movies. And I was wondering, you know, first off, what attracted you guys to the movie? Was that part of it?
Well, I think I was attracted primarily to working with Thomas. you know, it's a script that read really well, and you could tell that the characters were really, really complicated and fun and extremely dynamic. And I loved the character Sonny so much, but I have to say that just reading the script and not knowing that it was Thomas, mm-hmm. I don't think I would have done the movie, to be honest.
Yeah. Whoa. Well, that's nice.
Okay. So prepare for return flattering fire.
No. But it is true. I mean, that's the truth. That's why I made the decision ultimately, because I didn't know anything about Jake. He turned out to be amazing and wonderful, but, you know, I had worked with enough first-time directors that I was a little bit wary of working with another one. So just knowing that it was you, Thomas, I knew that was going to be my grounding force. That was going to be what my experience would be to work with you. And if the movie was good or it wasn't, I could leave knowing that was my experience. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
I first read the script now. It's been at least 4, maybe even 5 years ago.
Wow.
And Jake and I started having a series of conversations. And the movie went around and around with a variety of financiers, but we always, Jake and I always had an agreement with different producers involved, you know, some in, some out, that he and I would always confer, and it would be a partnership decision equally as to who we would choose to be Sonny.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of actresses were interested. Jake met with many. You know, some helped us with whatever, you know, find the usual game, you know, what can we do with the funding and this and that. But then the movie just sort of stalled for a little while. And Jake and I, as you know, we would check in with each other every few months and talk about it. And then it was, I believe, in May, and possibly early June. You know, we had talked about Elizabeth a number of times, and it's either it didn't get to her, somebody said she was busy, she did wasn't. Then finally in June, there was a definitive moment, and I got a phone call and from Jake, and he said, look, you know, she read it, she wants to do it, you know, what do you think? And I mean, my hand to God, I said, I couldn't carve a better part. I mean, Elizabeth just absolutely zeroed in from everything I had gleaned over the years from her performances that I really enjoyed. I just thought she had the strength and the vulnerability and very attractive qualities, just intellect, but everything. I mean, and a very attractive woman, and it was almost like too unbelievable. And I mean, it was just like it was beyond hyperbole that she really was interested in doing it. And I said, if you're serious and we can get her, you know, let's start prepping today. And start shooting before, you know, she comes out from under the ether. And that's what happened.
Wow.
We got to go and make the movie.
Wow.
Wow. This is all because of me.
Such a love fest.
And then, a tertiary kind of, you know, chunk of manna that fell from heaven was Melissa Leo read it, beginning her hot minute and read it and wanted to do it. And, you know, it's like, you know, like even in our conversations about Melissa, which Lisa was part of, you know, everybody was like, nobody was really that aware of Frozen River. I had seen it. It hadn't even been released to theaters, but she and I are both repped at Wayne Morrison. I got a disc.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched like 20 minutes of it, and I was like, if we can get this person, there's not going to be a better person for Marie. And I really just started dreaming about that kind of warrior dynamic in the movie that would go on between she and Sonny, because it really is. That's the dynamic triangle of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what really makes the movie work so well is that, you know, besides the two of you, and you guys are great, is that you have these great supporting actors like M. Emmett Walsh and Pruitt Taylor mm-hmm. Vince and James Rebhorn and Melissa Leo, who are able to take these, and Keith David, that are able to take these parts that I don't know what they look like on the page, but I imagine that they made them sing, you know, more than you could have anticipated. Right. So Thomas, did you have a lot of input on those casting decisions as well?
I without coming off completely self-aggrandizing, I did, but I always deferred to Jake.
Mm-hmm.
And to a lesser degree to Jim Young, the producer, and then my partner, producer partner David Denny, also, who's a producer on the film, also had a voice. But, you know, when we started shooting, and really all we had, you know, when we were in prep, we had me and Lisa. And, I mean, Melissa wasn't even cast. And when we were in prep, and I remember Lisa, like, we got there, you know, she and I read through some stuff with Jake, the writer-director. And then, you know, even, like, we went and had supper the beginning of the week when we were going to start shooting later in the week. And, you know, we didn't even have Melissa. You know, I think that's the nature of a small indie. It's like, you're kind of flying by, you know, trapdoor on your underwear and hoping for the best. And it's like, you know, like we got, I think Melissa was in like 2 days before we started shooting. But I don't think we needed her those first few days. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everybody, even Lisa, I mean, it's like a name would come on. It's like, hey, what do you think of Keith David? Hey, what do you think of Pruitt Taylor? What do you think of James Rebhorn, who, by the way, I wrote a part for in a movie that David and I wrote a number of years ago. I mean, you know, and with I call him Mike because that's what people call him, but Emmett Walsh, you know, who is kind of a character performing hero of mine. I mean, all the way back to Straight Time and Blood Simple and Blade Runner and all these amazing performances that he's given since I was a kid. And it's like guys like that inspired me to want to be an actor. Yeah. And then to get him in a movie, you know, that we're starring in was just, it was beyond any reasonable expectation.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I wanted to ask...
I want Lisa to talk more.
Yeah.
Well, start directing some questions towards Lisa.
No, you keep talking. I haven't even seen the movie, for God's sake.
Well, I wanted to ask both of
you. Yeah, I have. I mean, I've seen a number of incarnations of the movie, and I think that it's landed in a very strong place with the score, and it's just got an interesting, dark mood to it, which I quite like, and I think Jake was successful in capturing. It's always the way I read it. I read that there was always this dark undercurrent with splashes of human comedy But there just always was this dark undercurrent that, like you just said, Noah, it doesn't really give you any information as to where the picture's going.
Yeah. And that's something I wanted to ask both of you about, and we'll start with Lisa. was it nerve-wracking for you as an actor to try and give stability to a film that, you know, is constantly threatening to jump off the rails, so to speak?
Maybe one of the reasons why I haven't seen it yet. just the fear of playing a character where I had to kind of go out further than felt comfortable,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. play somebody who is a little bit very unstable and very, very out there. And I love the experience, but that's what's so thrilling about it when you play a character where you get the chance to go to a place where you wonder whether it works.
mm-hmm.
That to me is what I loved most about the experience, really, is that I'm scared to see the movie.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Well, you shouldn't be too scared, because it's great. But especially, but also, Thomas, for you, because you're kind of the one holding the picture together, you're the straight man, so to speak. You know, was it difficult for you to keep that stability while everything else around you in the movie is kind of going crazy?
You know, I always saw the guy, Don, as an extremely isolated person because of this great tragedy that I won't reveal, but there's just a great tragedy that mm-hmm. sort of marks his and defines his life. And I always saw him as this really isolated guy. And so it was sort of to kind of just go through at times with this almost somnambulant quality to him. And then, but then as events, you know, present themselves in taking this journey, it's like these, you know, it's like shocks, like, you know, like these kind of raw shocks that happen. And that to me is where I never wanted to stray too far out of the guy you see at the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come full circle back to the end of the movie, I really wanted to be, he's almost unchanged because of the series of shocks. And it's just, it doesn't change him in a profound way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, life is about, you know, my brother, who's an attorney, said to me one time, you know, adult life is not really about good and bad choices. It's just about bad choices and worse choices. and when he comes full circle to the end of the picture, that's what's happened to him. It's, you know, he's taken chances, and it's just been a series of bad and worse choices. And so I just always kind of held on to that. And my favorite scenes in the movie, quite frankly, are with Lisa alone. Because he's trying to cling to her with this romantic desperation. And it's really, my favorite scenes in the movie are my scenes with her alone, where, you know, and it's not even so much about kissing or any, just like when they're communicating and they're really trying to, they're both isolated people and they're trying to understand each other emotionally.
Yeah,
not,
I think
to me,
I love that part of the movie too, so much. I love that, I love that there's such a childlike love between them. That
there really is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like that sort of freed me up in a lot of ways. I remember even our first dinner, where you were just, you know, excited to work. You were excited that we were going to work together. And then our first scene together, I could just tell that Don was just so happy to be around me. and I just feel like the heart of the movie was sort of born at that moment. That if that was true, then all the craziness that would happen around them would always be grounded in that real childlike affection and need for each other.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a that's a very specific and I think brilliant assessment of that emotional quality, or that that quality that, you know, that bond between them. And that's very, that's all perfectly expressed, Lisa. It was, he just is so happy to have someone in his life after all those years to pour love into and affection and compassion and everything that we want in a rewarding adult relationship. That's really exactly what it is. He's just so happy to have her there. Mm-hmm. And for her, as beautiful as she is, to be that person, and she reciprocates.
Yeah. And also what I wanted to ask you was, I mean, you guys got into this a little bit, but I'm always curious about an actor's process. And, you know, because you always read about some people are more methody, some people are more easygoing. And I wanted to know, you know, what are your processes? And clearly you felt that they clicked, but were there ever any moments where you felt that they clashed a little bit?
Gosh, I that's like talking. I mean, I know I'm not a method actor. That's all I know. I don't know. I don't think I know my.
But I think Melissa is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know she was at the actor studio, and studied with a lot of people that I know that were at the studio. Isn't she, Lisa? I think she's rather proud of that.
We haven't talked about it, but we definitely felt that way while we were.
Yeah, I really thought that she was sort of an old guard method actor, which I admire. I mean,
yeah.
I admire the convictions to net. You know, it's you almost don't recognize the person. You know, the actress or, you know, like in Melissa's case, I knew her from Frozen River and 21 Grams and, mm-hmm. and, Three Burials of Melquiades Estrada. And, you know, I knew her from other performances, but, you know, when I met her and she was Marie, I definitely didn't feel like I knew anything about her because she was already starting to build the character. And again, it's like, I had an imagining of who Marie was going to be, and, you know, there was a lot of actresses that were very interested, even down to the 11th hour. Sissy Spacek was very, very interested in playing Marie, and then it just didn't work out for whatever reasons. But I was imagining somebody, you know, like that kind of southern and genteel, you know, for quite a while. And Melissa has a very specific personality as applied to Marie.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then for me, you know, I really sort of, my process is the way of the dumbass, the way of the donkey. just keep ramming my head into something until either I fall down or it gives in. But, you know, I just try to figure it out. Like I always try to understand who the writer imagined that guy being, and then start trying to kind of reverse engineer from my personality and who I am into what I think the writer imagined the character to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
And Elizabeth, you said
I don't think there's any actor that doesn't bring themselves to finding. I mean, the best ones are feel parts of themselves. It's just sort of which colors and which parts of yourself are going to bring mm-hmm. to which characters.
I so enjoyed watching Lisa understand scenes and moments and you know, it's, you know, getting frustrated and then breaking through and being happy or being, you know, having a moment of clarity. I mean, really, that there's nothing more admirable on set than dedication and moment to moment, whether it's an actor that I'm opposite of, the director, the people in the crew, how the boom guy is diligent and considerate of what we're doing. I just admire dedication, because movies are they're very difficult to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a little carnival troupe. You come in, you interrupt the world, and then you move on, and it's just a real difficult process that is almost absurdly romanticized by the world at large. Mm-hmm. But if people spent more time around movie sets, they would understand it's laser focused hard work.
Yeah. And it's tough.
I always admire dedication.
And it's even tougher to make a good movie. And so it's really
yeah.
Impressive that you guys were able to do just that. And I mean,
I also really admire actors who are present. I feel like after all these years, all the different actors that I've worked with, I just, from my own experience, to walk away and feel like I've experienced a part of life, that I've been able to actually experience my character as it interacts mm-hmm. in a world, and that world becomes so real while it's happening that it's part of my life forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it's impossible to have those experiences unless you work with the present in the moment, people who are, they're willing to put themselves in that moment and be right there with you wherever you're going to go. You trust them, and you know that they will come on the ride of every scene with you.
Yeah.
And I think that's what was so fun about working with Thomas, is that you're just so available and right there. And it instantly made me feel like my world was real. So whatever I did, it's going to be okay.
You're completely flying blind right now, because Noah and I have seen the movie.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad. But yeah, I mean,
thank you so much for saying that. I absolutely return that kind assessment. Lisa was never one step away from getting right back into what we were trying to break down and understand emotionally, and not being distracted by, there's so many obstacles, and any one of them, as Lisa just said, can distract someone who isn't present,
mm-hmm.
or add fuel to the fire of a person who's consistently not available. And so it's nice when
an actor show up thinking they're going to give a performance, and then you sort of sit back like you're an actor actually just watching them give a performance. You could be there or
right.
not. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Right. Well, that always.
I want to find this relationship together. I'm excited to find these moments together, you know?
Well, it seems to always show up on screen. Sorry, go ahead.
I just thought of an actor that both Lisa and I have worked with, who they shall remain nameless, but that's funny. I'm going to ask about it later, Lisa. Somebody that you and I both have worked with.
Wow, that's...
It's just whenever you said that. Somebody that shows up ready to give a performance, and I just thought of somebody. Sorry, no, I know that's kind of a-hole-ish to do.
I think I kind of figured it out, actually, but I'm not going to say.
Uh-oh!
I think I actually figured it out, because there's been one actor that you both have worked with, and Thomas, it was, I believe you made the movie with him in the early 90s, if I'm correct, and Lisa was in the mid-90s. That's all I'm going to say.
I think we have more... Do not be tempted by the obvious. I think she and I have more than one actor in common.
Okay. All right. Well,
do not be tempted by the obvious, by the low-hanging fruit, young Noah.
I thought you threw me a fastball. I was just willing to hit it right out of the park, but, you know.
Yeah, you did, man. You just swung. You swung, guy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I thought the picture was very reminiscent. You mentioned Blood Simple before. M. Emmett Walsh was in it.
Mm-hmm.
There was definitely mm-hmm. it was definitely reminiscent of that, and I saw a little bit of Double Indemnity in there, and even a little Blue Velvet. And I was wondering, if you guys watched any films before you started filming to prepare for your roles or to prepare for what you felt the mood was supposed to be. Or if you guys don't do that in general, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't, but...
Yeah, I didn't either.
I watched Fargo, I think. I think I watched Fargo.
Mm. That's a good one.
I'm familiar with all of those movies. But I think any Coen movie, with the possible sole exception of Big Lebowski, well, and Burn After Reading now, even though it wasn't out when we were shooting, but you know, there are many Coen brothers movies that I think are totally applicable.
Mm-hmm.
Jake is a huge fan of the Coen brothers filmmaking, as am I, and I you know, even tonally movies like Miller's Crossing, you know, there's just little nuance here and there, and that I think I pay attention to in those movies, and then probably manifests itself when I'm trying to figure a character out, unbeknownst to me.
Yeah, I could.
That we just had to play it for real. I mean, just that I thought the brilliance of their movies is that no matter how absurd the world is that they live in, they don't judge it as absurd. It's their world,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So they believe in their circumstances completely. I mean, that's sort of
right.
That was the one thing I sort of felt like that we just I had to stay true to. Which that's mm-hmm. the scary part, because you're just wondering whether you're not you're out of the world, but you have to commit to going further than you're used to, because the world is a different. It's just a heightened world of possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I also wanted to ask you, both of you, who are some of your favorite actors? And if you have any actors whose career path you would like to emulate or who you particularly admire, perhaps. I'm always fascinated by this. So
it's a little late for me to emulate anyone.
It's never too late.
It's impossible for you to emulate anybody. You're too weird. In the best way.
Go ahead, Lisa, you go first.
Well, let's see. I really like Kate Blanchett.
Yeah, she's great.
I guess she's one person that I admire. And she does have a very lovely career. Plus, she gets to be completely real with her family, and it's not like she's had to give up a real life to be able to do the work she does.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she and I think Meryl Streep has been able to have an amazing career and still have her life full and refill.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
Yeah, she's pretty good. But I think I admire actresses, but then I also admire actresses who have been able to carve out a real life within their big careers.
Right.
I find that really admirable and difficult.
Yeah, it seems to be something that women have to deal with a little bit more immediately than men do. They have to make that decision, it seems, and it seems that there's maybe an age limit for certain parts that they can play. So the time span is kind of, you have this period of 20 years to kind of act in all the movies that you want to act in, and also somehow figure out how to have a family in there, if that's what you want.
But yeah, and creatively, I love the choices that they make, and I just love that they bring themselves to their parts, but they also, you know, have such vast imaginations and range to be able to inhabit all these very different parts.
So, Thomas, anybody? Or you're flying solo?
I have tremendous admiration for one of my former classmates, Paul Giamatti, who consistently just amazes me, and also Philip Seymour Hoffman. But I too share a deep admiration with Lisa for Meryl Streep. I just think that she seems so free, and I did have the opportunity to meet her a few years ago, and she was so warm and so genuine, and I met her at a screening of Sideways in New York, and she came up to me with such, you know, it's of course now legendary, but She came up to me with that smile and those eyes and gave me a hug and was so immediately, I mean, I was enveloped by her warmth and just her love of humanity. And I was just, I don't know if I admire anybody more than I admire Meryl Streep. She's, you know, it's almost beyond, you know, like verbal worship.
I think I would. I was just going to say, I think I would freak out if I actually shook hands with Meryl Streep.
But that's what's crazy about it. She doesn't come off regal or, you know, I mean, it's like, there's nothing superhuman about her.
Mm-hmm.
She felt completely normal and accessible and like I said, has this tremendous warmth and really just had like this kind of profound affection for for Sideways and I was flattened by her even knowing who I was but also for Phil Hoffman, because I think I'm just amazed by him and everything. Charlie Wilson's War, Doubt,
Doubt, he's so incredible in Doubt.
Savages, after the fact, I voted for him in Doubt, and, I just love everything he does, I really do. I don't know that I've ever seen him give a bad performance, and that's going way back, and he beat me out for Big Lebowski. Because I met with the Coens for that part, and he beat me up. And then I saw the movie, and I'm like, that guy's a shitload better than me.
Yeah.
You're different. You can't compare yourself.
Exactly.
What's that?
Yeah, you can't compare yourself. You're just so different, my God.
I know, but still, you know how it is whenever...
I know.
There's no way he could have played your part in Sideways,
But I do think that he was on a short list for Paul's role. I mean, I know the guys that Alexander was considering, and Phil Hoffman was one of them.
Yeah,
I adore my Pablito, and I think he's in league with Phil Hoffman as a performer.
One thing I wanted to ask both of you is if you had to pick. Like for Elizabeth, what's your favorite performance by Thomas? And Thomas, what's your favorite performance by Elizabeth? And try not to say Don McKay as much as you might want to.
Well, I'll probably. I guess Sideways, just because that's the movie that I really was taken by him. That's the one that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see you in your previous incarnation, Thomas. So.
I bet your children know me better than you do. Children are big fans of George of the Jungle.
Yeah, exactly. I did miss that one. I'm sorry.
We actually share a director, too, because I worked with Mike Figgis right after leaving Las Vegas.
Really?
One night stand.
Correct, sir.
Yeah.
The unfortunate box office cinder block that was One Night Stand. And Lisa's gonna clap me on the back of the head when she sees me. But I have to say, really, there's a number of performances of Lisa's that I'm very fond of, and Leaving Las Vegas is close to the top, but. And I said this to you in person when we were in Massachusetts. The first performance that I saw of hers, that I saw this great kind of sensuality and vulnerability, but there also was just this girlish alacrity to enjoy life. And that was in Cocktail. I told you that. It was whenever I saw her, because I knew her, you know, Adventures in Babysitting and certainly Karate Kid, and you know, there were movies that came before Cocktail, but Cocktail, it's like it was a very mature, very sexually charged innocence to the performance, which I really, really liked. And I thought she was terrific opposite of Tom Cruise, opposite of Brian Brown. I mean, all of the terrific actors that are in that picture. But I just thought, I mean, you know.
Wow.
And, of course, her bounding around in, you know, one-piece bathing suit didn't hurt at all. But, yeah, I remember thinking she's got insanely hot legs. But also, I just thought gave a very keen, emotionally keen performance. Mm-hmm. I told you that, Lisa.
I told you that
I really loved your performance in Cocktail. And I think she either hit me or kicked me. she's a physically aggressive woman.
Well,
but I did. I really loved that performance.
Well, thank you, dear.
Well, those were fantastic choices. I think, you know, I obviously you guys are both great in your Oscar-nominated works. I'm gonna throw two more out there that I thought you were both great in. For Thomas, I thought you were fantastic in Smart People, which I don't think enough people saw.
Thank you.
And Elizabeth, I think The Trigger Effect is actually a really underrated film, and I thought you were fantastic in that.
I like that movie.
And anyway, so
I went and saw that movie in a movie theater, and I had no idea what it was.
Yeah, it's
but I was attracted to it. Was Kyle MacLachlan and Lisa and Dermot Mulroney, right?
Yeah.
I remember like that. Those three actors together compelled me to see the movie in a theater in the San Fernando Valley because I had no idea what it was about, and I was absolutely entertained by that movie.
Yeah, I think
it could have gone further. It could have been darker and more interesting. I think it played it so safe.
It could have been, but I thought that for what it was, I thought it really, you know, it gripped me, and especially having lived in New York City through a blackout, that was even now, especially if I look back on that movie, it seems kind of great. But
guys, you know, I have to leave.
Okay.
To pick up a child.
All right, so I'm gonna get you guys out of here on this one last question that I ask everybody, rapid fire. What is your favorite movie or favorite movies?
Lisa?
Oh, God. That's so hard.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. But
there's so many, but anytime I've been asked this in an interview, the one movie that always leaps into my mind, because it really is, if I had to pinpoint one film that compelled me to want to be an actor and to be in the movie business, is the movie Alien. It came out the summer I graduated from high school, and I was on my way to go surfing, and I called down to a buddy of mine in South Padre, and he was like, it's flat, but it's supposed to come up later. It was early in the afternoon. I was like, shit, I don't have anything to do. And Alien had just opened in my little town movie theater, and it was right there, and I looked up, and there was a marquee. I pulled in, paid, bought my ticket, got some popcorn, got a soda, went in. I was the only person in the theater. And I told Walter Hill this story many, many years later. And that movie, it was so shocking and real, and I was absolutely, I fell in love with movie making.
Yeah.
In that theater in 1979, and I wanted to be an actor because I thought all the performers, Harry Dean Stanton and Tom Skerritt and Sigourney Weaver and you know, Yaphet Kotto, I thought they were all, John Hurt, Ian Holm, amazing in the movie. And I was like, I want to be an actor. And unfortunately, I failed in that endeavor, but I got to be a man. I got to be a rancher anyway.
Yeah, you really failed right to the top.
Lisa?
It's funny. I can't think of one movie, so I guess when you said, like, what was the movie that made you want to be an actor? Oddly, it was, I don't know if it was the movie itself, but it was the performance of Timothy Hutton in Ordinary People.
Oh, that's great.
Oh.
Isn't that weird?
Love that movie.
I just remember.
I just watched that movie again the other night.
Oh, really? I wonder if
I watched it. I love that movie.
It holds up.
There was something about the rawness of his performance and just revealing that pain that he had gone through. And it was odd the way it just gripped me and made me think. And I hadn't done anything. I mean, I really hadn't even started doing commercials. I had this weird sense that I need to express that somehow. I need to be a part of a world that allows you the freedom to express yourself that freely and that honestly. And I just remember that.
Well, that's a fantastic choice. They're both fantastic choices, actually. And it's interesting because they both occurred when you guys, I guess, were around in the high school age. And
yeah,
it's funny how that works. Anyway, well, I'll let you go. Thank you guys so much, and I really wish you the best with Don McKay, and I hope it wins ton of awards at Tribeca. That's all the time we have for the podcast this week, folks. As always, you can email me at noah@moviecitynews.com. Thanks so much for listening.